بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت ابراهيم بن ادهم رحمة الله عليه had set out for Hajj. And as he approached the Baytullah, then the Baytullah has got a khas, a special tajalli, a special splendor of Allah Ta'ala that descends upon the Baytullah. People, according to their capacities, they perceive the splendor. One youngster had set out for Hajj in the old days. The people noticed that he was behaving abnormally. Sometimes he will jump, and sometimes he will sing something. Sometimes he's crying. So they felt perhaps something wrong with this youngster, until they reached the Baytullah and the Mu'allim, the guide that was showing them around, he pointed towards the Baytullah and he says, "See, this is the Baytullah." So the youngster couldn't contain himself any longer. And he says, Churasi bakuva dilbar, basipar dila mustar, mabada bar digar, narasi badi tamanna. He says, that when you come to the house of the beloved, then make the biggest sacrifice, make the biggest offering, because you've come to the house of the beloved. That's the whole aspiration, the whole desire, the whole anxiety is to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you've come here eventually with much anxiety, much longing and yearning. You have eventually come to the house of Allah Ta'ala. So when you have come to His house, then offer yourself. Make the greatest offering. So offer yourself. Mabada bare digar narasi badi tamanna. Perhaps you may not reach this house of the beloved in the future. And he just shrieked and he just died straight away. So that was that burning desire that was within him. They were saying that he's mad. He wasn't mad. If he was mad, he was mad for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he showed it. Okay. When you come to that house now, then just offer the things that is most dearest to you. And there isn't anything that is dearer to you than your life. So just offer your life. Around 84 or 83 somewhere, I was still contemplating to go for Hajj or not. So Hazrat Munshi Sahib was still alive at the time, and I had to go and visit him. Weekly people used to go and visit him, so I jumped in and joined, and he recited this poetry. Chubarasi kuwa dilbar basipar dila mustar. So I understood two things from that poetry, that line he read. I understood two things. One is, inshallah, I will reach the Baytullah. And secondly, it's indicated that he'll pass away. And that very year, before I could reach home, and he had passed away already. Right. So it's a different language that he was talking at that time. And I was still contemplating, and he told me, no, inshallah, you'll go. In this poetry, he told me that you'll go. But Now he's already reached the house of the beloved. He's already reached the climax in his journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He reached, the climax is reached. So when he's reached the climax, then what? Then you must offer yourself. When you reach the zenith, you've come right to the climax, right to that point. Then what's the sensible thing to do? The most sensible thing to do is to give the life to whom it belongs to. So he told me, he alluded that now it's the end of this journey of mine. When it's the end of the journey of mine, then the next leg has to start. So I explained just now that each person experiences the splendor according to his capacity. Some will experience a greater splendor, some will experience a lesser, according to the volume, according to the capacity, how much you can take. Many of us desire that, why can't we experience also those things that these people experience? So he's talking of Khaja Baqi Billah Sahib Rahmatullahi, Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullahi. I'll come back to that. But just to explain to you, what is this all about, you see, to understand capacity. Khaja Baqi Billah, all these people were around Delhi. And he had people coming to him all the time, Islah, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, reformation, correction, he had people coming to him all the time. So one person comes up to him at an odd time, not at the normal time. These awliya, many of them, used to go through a lot of constraints. A lot of constraints. You had those who had a langar, in other words, the dastarkhan would be open 24 hours, any time you go, and there's meals available. And you had those that were living in constraints. So you had both. In the garden, there must be all types, right? There can't be only roses. If there's only roses, then it doesn't give out the beauty. You have a whole variety, then it gives out the beauty. So in the awliya also, you have a variety. You don't have just one type. Some are going through starvation, constraints and difficulty. And others, the dastarkhan is just open. Come in and you eat and go. Eat and move, eat and move. So you have all types. So this mihman had come at a very odd time and there was nothing available. So these Ahlullah, for themselves, they will not ask anybody. For their own person, they won't ask anybody. Their trust in Allah Ta'ala is such. But if they got a guest or something, then they will go out of the way to try and honor the guest. Because they know, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَ. That the demand of iman is to honor the guest. Ibrahim alayhi salam received those guests, those malaika that came in the form of men. دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما فراغ إلى أهلي فجاء بعجل سمين. And he went into his household, he brought a fat lamb. People talk about fattening and all that, whether that fattening is good, not good. But he brought a fat lamb, a fat calf, and he presented it before them. So that fat is a desirable thing, it's not an undesirable thing. It's not an undesirable thing, alright? You have too much of it, then you can't take. But otherwise it's a desirable thing. So anyway, this mihman had come in, and he began to walk. He began to walk in his own house, he's walking. And the neighbor, that is a cook, like how we are here, and the neighbor is a cook. So the neighbor began to see now that this man is walking up and down, he's walking. So he understood that there is someone that's coming, that's causing him this type of concern. He's stressing and he's tense because of this. Perhaps he doesn't have anything to offer. So the neighbor is a cook. So he prepared the food, he laid it out in the tray, and he presented it. So the mihman ate very well. Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah was very pleased, very, very pleased. And he realized now that this was a moment for the du'as to get answered and accepted. You know, when the du'a is getting answered, sometimes you get an indication, like how it's a big night and you are making du'a and suddenly you see now your hair on end, you feel like crying uncontrollably. So all these are indications that the du'a is getting answered, right? So he made out now this is a moment for the du'as to get answered. So he asks this person that came in at that time, who offered the food, that nanbai, they call him, who prepares food, etc., they call him a nanbai. So he asked him, by what you desire, what do you desire? So he desired what we would have desired. So make me like you. Make me like you. So Khaja Baqil Billah understood, you see, I have come to this position, I have come after a lot of struggle, a lot of difficulty, pain, difficulty, struggle. Eventually, I have come to this position. I didn't just come to the one shot, see, with a lot of struggle. Like a person who's a bodybuilder now, he's got the ultimate body now, he's got the ultimate body. So he doesn't just get the overnight. It's a long period of training, eating different types of foods, etc. After the training, eventually he gets up to where he wants to get up. So Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah understood that he's come there after a lot of mehnat, a lot of effort, a lot of special exercises and all that he's gone through, a lot of zikr, tasbih, namaz, dua, all that. And eventually he's come to this level of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this person now, he says that this is what he desires. And I had offered him, ask what you want. Now for me to reach that is going to be difficult because I had given him, I offered him. When I offered him, and now for me to reach that now it's not going to be the right thing. So Khaja said, tells him, perhaps you will not be able to manage this. Ask for something else. So no, I want this. This is what I want. Nothing else. This is what I want. The second, third time, and he insisted, so Khaja Sahib caught him by the hand and took him into his apartment and kept on making dua after dua, tawajjuh, dua, whatever else. After a couple of hours, both came out. When they both came out, both were absolutely identical. You couldn't differentiate Khaja Sahib from that nanbai. So the wali of the time now, you can't identify him from this nanbai, from the cook. The only difference was that the cook was wobbling. He wasn't walking straight. He couldn't manage. And he took a few steps and he collapsed and he died. The problem was that he couldn't manage that. That spirituality that he had taken was too much. It's an overload. When he took an overload, so he couldn't manage. He took a few steps. He thought he'll continue. But what a luck he struck that he had to die, right? He had to die. He lived his life as a cook and he died as Khaja Baqi Billah. Can you imagine? The luck he struck. He had to die. That is inevitable. Right? He died. He had to die. But he lived a life of a cook and he died like this. So this capacity that is built, it's built with a lot of struggle, a lot of effort. Now, Ibrahim Adham rahmatullah, he is in Makkah Mukarrama, and he notices that special splendor, that special light and nur that descends upon the Baytullah. I don't see it. And then, in a few moments, he sees that this Hazrat Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayha, she comes in. And when she comes in, and that splendor is back. So he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I've tried so much that at every step I perform 2 rakat namaz in the whole journey from Balkh, Afghanistan, I traveled right to Baytullah. And I came like this, that at every step I used to perform 2 rakat namaz. And here, this is the woman that had overtaken me. What has she done that she has overtaken me, that whole splendor, that whole special light that comes on the Baytullah, is gone to her, and what's that extraordinary thing that she has done? So Ibrahim ibn Adam rahmatullah alayhi was told, you made a physical offering, and she made an offering with her heart. You made a physical offering because you put your head onto the ground. It was physical. But here at every step, her heart was by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her heart was going down on sajda. Every step, and her heart was in sajda. At every step, her heart was in prostration. At every step. So, you get paid accordingly. Right? You got a tocho boy, right? Informal worker. He's working in your garden for the whole day that he works. You'll give him 100 rand and say, boss, thank you very much. I would have never got that 100 rand for the day, right? All day, from 5 to 8, 8 to late he worked, and he only got how much 100 rand, and he's very happy about it. But by the same token, you go and see one accountant, top accountant, or an attorney or someone, advocate or something, for 1 hour, and he bills you for about 20 grand, 20,000, right? And you gave him with a smile, 20,000, hey, I came out very cheap, mashallah, man, I'm very happy about it. Now, what's the difference? He also offered a service, the Toko boy also offered a service, and this specialist also offered a service. So, what's the difference in the service? The difference in the service is, this person offered his body, and this person offered his heart and mind. He's been trained with his heart, with his mind, to offer like this. So his 1 hour is equivalent to this person's whole year. What he would have earned in the whole year, this person earned in that 1 hour. See. So this is called, this path, this type of a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is called tariqa-e kalandar, where there is not so much of physical work, physical, verbal, not so much of physical, verbal, but the mind is somewhere else. Right? One way is that you are doing many things, but physically or verbally, a lot of namaz, a lot of tasbih, zikr, etc. That's one way. And one way is the mind is always engaged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mind is always in meditation. It's always reflecting, right? Now when you say reflecting, then how do you explain that? How do you explain that? Now, for example, you are sitting on a table to eat, right? One person is sitting at the table and eating, and there was a nice dish that came up, nice dish, with kebab or whatever, chops and chips, whatever else. So it was done very well. In India, they do it, and they do it with pure ghee, Porbandar ghee. That's a real quality ghee. So they put that ghee and all that. So it's the top food there. So now, he's saying, no, I'm sacrificing, I'm making mujahada. So he put half a liter water and he started eating. So one buzuk saw this, he said, Diwan Admi, a stupid person, this person. He said, no, I'm making mujahada, I'm sacrificing, see. I don't take all the splendors, I don't take all the enjoyment of this life. So that buzuk said, no, but if you had understood Allah Ta'ala, you wouldn't have done this. It's a lack of your understanding. You don't understand what it is to draw closer to Allah Ta'ala. This person who is drawn closer to Allah Ta'ala, who is meditating, who is reflecting, he will take that, he will enjoy it as it is. But his mind will be at a different level. His mind will be like this, Allah Ta'ala, I'm so gunegar, I'm such a sinner, and with your grace and your bounty, you have fed me like this. Allah Ta'ala, you got this food prepared for me so well, so beautiful. It's so delicious, it's so enjoyable. See? You got so many people to bring this food to the position that it is. You know, so many work, people worked. Animal worked, the cook worked, or the wife had worked. So many people had worked in preparing this. Allah Ta'ala, this is your grace. Allah Ta'ala, this is your bounty. It's so enjoyable. When I look at this one morsel of food, I see, oh Allah Ta'ala, from the east to the west, people had worked to make this one morsel. Look at the crockery from China. Look at the sheep, it's from New Zealand perhaps. Look at the spices from Pakistan. Look at the rice perhaps from America. So the whole East and the West had got together to prepare this one morsel. Allah Ta'ala, how great you are, how kareem you are, Allah Ta'ala. You just give and you give and you give. Allah Ta'ala, how much you give? So you're eating that one morsel, and you're enjoying, you're relishing, but you're crying also, Allah Ta'ala, I am so gunegar, and you're so merciful, you're so compassionate and so kind. Now show me, these two people eating, is it the same? The person is putting half a liter of water inside, so you're making a lot of mujahada. And this person who's eating with that lot of relish and enjoyment, but he's communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell me both's eating are the same. He's eating at a different level, he's eating at a different level. His understanding of Allah ta'ala is different, his understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. So these people, when they get into namaz, then their level is different. That is why they say that people misunderstand this awliya-i kiram. They say, Mali hadhi ya'kulu at-ta'ama wa yamshi fil aswaq. He does like what we do. He eats and he drinks like how we eat and drink. He goes around, we go around also. What's the difference? So this is where they had made a mistake about this awliya-i kiram. They felt that they do like what we do. They eat like they like we eat. They have the needs like we have the needs. So what's the difference between them and us? What the Nabi writes in his poetry, he says, وَمَا أَنْتَ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ. He says, فَإِنَّ الْمِسْكَ بَعْدُ دَمِ الْغَزَالِ. He says, you're not from them. Though you are living with them, you look like one of them. You seem to be like one of them. You eat and drink, you wear clothing, you feel cold, feel hot, etc. All earthly conditions overcome you as well. But really, you aren't from them. Now, who he's talking to? He's talking to his beloved. Right? He says, as though you're living with them, you live with them, interact with them, everything else, but you're not part of them. وَلَسْتَ فِيهِمْ فَإِنَّ الْمِسْكَ بَعْدُ دَمِ الْغَزَالِ. Because when you see musk, right? When you analyze musk, what it is? Analyze musk. Musk is really, in its initial stages, it was the blood of a gazelle. But it went through some transformation, and it's come to that position. Now that 1 ounce of that musk, 1 ounce of that musk is 100,000 rands. And that 1 ounce of blood is dirt and filth, will throw it away. So both are blood. This is blood, that is blood. But is there any comparison in its price and value? Does it have any comparison? No comparison. So it went through transformation upon transformation, change upon change, change upon change, until it comes to this point. Now, it's reached a point, now you are prepared to pay 100,000 for just 1 ounce, pure, musk in its pure form. Okay. So you see, their exercise and their struggle is mental. If they're doing anything, then they're thinking 101 times before they get into anything. Right? Now, it's that Ahlullah that is coming to the masjid, for example, right? He's coming to the masjid. So he's coming with a different level, a different frame of mind. We're going with a different frame of mind, and he's going with a different frame of mind. The most we will think is, alright, at one step I'll get sawab, and my sins will be forgiven. And he's rushing to the masjid, finish. He is walking at a different level. He is thinking, it's the house of the beloved. I'm so fortunate the beloved has called me. He has allowed me in his house. It's a step to the beloved's home. Right? And what will the beloved love? So he's thinking, his mind is working. What will the beloved like? What will Allah Pak like? Like you're going to meet your bride, right? For the first day now. And you never met and you were pining for her. You made a lot of dua and whatever else, made a lot of tawis, a lot of dua, eventually you got to the bride, right? So, what's your mind going to work at? What she will like, you know? What type of chocolate, what type of dress I must wear, what I mustn't wear, what I must do, what I must say. So your mind is working in that direction. So his mind is working like that, he's leaving his home. So he's made wuzu, proper wuzu, nice wuzu. Then he thought, no, this attariya, perhaps Allah Pak will like this attar. So he took it nicely and he rubbed it on his body. His body is not smelling. No, Allah Pak won't like this. Allah Pak won't like this. Now two people will be doing the same thing. He's applying ether and he's applying ether also. This person is applying as a routine. And this person, he's applying that ether at a different level. His mind is already absorbed in Allah Ta'ala. You see, his mind is already, what will Allah Pak like? Now he's walking gracefully. See, I'm going to the house of the beloved. I'm so honored that the beloved has called me. One person is working as a potter, so he saw that one person has got a load and he wants a potter. So he offered himself, said, no, I am a potter. I can convey your parcel. So he took the parcel. Just then the azan went. So he told the man, if you allow me, keep your parcel, I will offer my namaz and come. Now he went to the masjid and he's performing his namaz. Now all the musallis are getting out of the masjid and this youngster that was the porter is not coming out of the masjid yet. So the man is making sabr 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Bhai, what's wrong? What's the delay? What's holding you back? What's holding you back? What's keeping you back? So that youngster is saying, the one that is keeping you out is keeping me in. The one that is keeping you out is keeping me in. Your namaz is just as a routine. And my namaz is at a different level. That's what he's saying actually. That the beloved don't want to leave me. He likes my namaz. He appreciates my service. So he's keeping me in. They say, Maktabai ishq ka andaz nirala paya usko chutti na mili jisne sabak yaad kiya. You know, in the school, the system is you learn your sabak, you go, right? You know your work, you go. And if you don't know your sabak, then you're detained. But in the school of love, the whole system is different. The school of love, the system is totally different. Maktab ishq ka andaz nirala paya, usko chutti na mili jisne sabak yaad kiya. So the system is totally different there. The system that works there, the one that knows his work, they'll detain him. See, the beloved keeps who he loves. And whose love is just normal now, is just a formal love, come and go, come and go. That's a formal love. But now whose love is over and above that, they say, no chutti for you. For others, they can go. We will talk secretly. We will talk. Others, they just come, offer their love and they go. They come and they go. It's a formal love. And no, your love is special. So special people can't be treated like that. They'll be treated differently. The way that they will be treated will be different. Sometimes it may seem that they are going through more difficulty, the special people, right? But really it's different. One person has gone for Hajj and he's going through some difficulty at the Baytullah. So that affluent person from his town started to mock him, you know. And he began to run him down, humiliate him. He said, no, I told you that Hajj is for the wealthy, it's not for poor people. Hajj is for the wealthy, it's not for the poor people. Who asked you to force yourself for Hajj? So the poor person, he says, "Bhai, you missed the point. See, you missed the point." You see, when there is a get-together, there is a wedding, etc., right? Then the outsiders, people that come from the outside, they are served and they are seen well. People of the house, they aren't shown that type of attention. You see? Otherwise, what he's saying, he is the person of the house, you're an outsider. That's what he's saying, you see? That his love is something unique. The love of Allah Ta'ala is totally unique. You're an outsider, you just come, do your thing and you move. So your love is a formal love, you know. And our love is informal. It's above the normal. So when the love is above the normal, then I can't just be there like a formal guest and move away. Then I'll have to be servicing that love of mine. See, that love has to be serviced. The love can't just go at a casual level. It has to be serviced. You coming, right? You coming as a small little car. So you need the tank to be filled, right? So they'll put 50 liters. But you're coming with a big, big horse trailer, then according to your capacity. So this person is coming with that capacity. He's got that level of love. So when he comes to the masjid, then he's coming in differently. Then he's coming to the masjid, right? And he's so honored. And just as he's pulling into the masjid, his eyes are swelling with tears. Come to the house of the beloved. If you can help it, he'll kiss the wall. He came to the house of the beloved. Majnun says, Atufu bi diyari, diyari layla, uqabbilu zal jidara wa jal jidara. He says, I come to the house of the beloved, and I kiss this wall sometimes, I kiss that wall sometimes. He says, it isn't the walls that have gripped my heart, it is the one that is residing in the house, she's gripped my heart. See? So his love is something else, and this is what we need to bring into our hearts. See, our ibadat, everything is like a routine. Routine. When it's routine, that's also a great thing. I don't say you should underestimate it. But now, until when should it be a routine? Let it come up. We're just doing this. I have to do this 20 times, 30 times, 50 times, 100 times, and it's a routine. So I don't say that is to be underestimated. But until when will your love be just a routine love? When are you going to bring it up? You said in your namaz, or you said in every posture, you say, Rabb, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Alhamdulillahi, Rabbi al-Alameen, Rabbana lakal hamd. Tell me one posture where you don't say Rabb. In the Qoma, you say Rabb. In the Ruku, you say Rabb. In the Sajda, you say Rabb. In the Jalsa, you say Rabb. Rumaghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli, warhamni, wahdini, wa'afini. So in every posture, you say Rabb. So who is this Rabb? Rabb is the beloved. He is the creator of love. Who's Rabb? He is the creator of love. When you talk of love, you only know one aspect of love, you know. You don't know the different dimensions of love. Just one aspect of love. Because the other dimension hasn't opened out to you. We are like that immature child, right? You talk to that immature child about a woman and beauty, etc. It doesn't appeal to him. What are you people talking about? Why it's immaturity? It's immaturity, so it's got no appeal to him. So this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have that appeal because we are still immature. Now you got that maturity, then it's different. When Majnoon is brought to the Baytullah, and his father sees his man is getting mad, you know. Why is he going mad over this Layla? So he tells his son, Majnoon's father tells Majnoon, "Bhai, make Tawbah, hold the Kaaba Sharif Gilaf, hold the Multazam Gilaf and make Tawbah that you won't get into this love again." Now this is an illustration. This is an illustration. I'm just showing you what's the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supposed to be, how it's supposed to be. So he comes to the Baytullah and is holding on to the gilaf at the multazam. And he says, Ya Rabbi, tubdu min kulli ma'asi. All the sins I ask for forgiveness. All, any sin and every sin, Allah, I ask for forgiveness. Walakin hubbu layla la tubu. But as far as the love of my Layla, no, I don't ask for Tawbah. Astazidu, I want more of that. See, love at any point, love doesn't say that stop here. La taqif inda haddin, doesn't stop. Just want an increase. At whatever level you are, you just want a promotion. You want to progress on that. You're at this level, at stage number 3, you want to go to 4. At number 4, from number 4 to number 5. Otherwise, it's not love. If you just got stopped, stagnated, then that's not love. Love just wants increase and progress all the time. It just wants to move up all the time. So he also understood it, that Layla's lover, Majnoon, he also understood it. It can't stop. And only I understand what it is, love. I understand what it is. You people don't understand it. So when you've understood love, then you just want a promotion, you understand the progress. So therefore, his 1 minute of ibadat sometimes is better than our years of ibadat. His mind is at a different level. We are working just like a nokar, you know, like a servant, right? Servant, how he's thinking is, well, I must come 5 to 5 and carry on. And the director, how he works, director doesn't work 5 to 5. In his home also he's thinking, all right, this line here, I need to get it. And where must I source it? How must I sell it? So all the time he's worried about the business. Do you see how he works? Whether he's on the golf course, whether he's in hospital, he's got a heart attack, but he's still worried. Whether he's even the Kabristan. Even the Kabristan, he's still worried, you know, this line I need to promote. So that person who is consumed by love, in every moment of his, he's thinking now, what's the next level of love? How can I promote this? The Kabristan also, he's looking at love. He's looking at it differently. We are looking at it from one dimension, And he's looking at it from a different dimension. He's looking at this person has ended the trials of this life. Now he's going to meet his beloved. What a day of ecstasy, what a day of enjoyment and happiness. What will be the day when you meet your beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will it be like? Your whole life you've been walking and walking and walking. Towards who? Towards the beloved. Now it's at culmination, it's at moment that you have come to. So now you're going to think differently. You're going to see things differently. Like I said yesterday, some days back, you know, that the Sayyid Ahmad Rifai says, now I've been doing this, I've been struggling and saying, sending duruds all the time. Now I've come right to your doorstep, Ya Rasulullah. Now, umdud yadak, now stretch your hands out. I want to see you now. Now I can't contain my love any longer. See, so he will, even at the Qabristan, he'll be thinking of a different level of love. And we'll be just doing it as a routine, we'll be doing it. So for this type of love, he's being rewarded. And this is a desired thing. See, this whole incident is about the same thing. That how do we cultivate the love in us? How we go away from the routine, and how do we cultivate and promote this love? And I don't see now that type of formal approach is underestimated. This routine also is appreciated. Just now you leave out your routine just now. So that routine is also appreciated. But until when will you remain in the routine? When will you escalate? When will you come up? Another tawfiq nasib.